now 6 minutes past seven, and as Penny was just saying, immigrants who've arrived in the UK since 2000 have contributed more to the economy than they've actually taken from it. New research from University College London suggests these migrants are less likely to claim benefits than people born right here in the UK. One of the report's authors is Professor Christian Dustman, and he joins us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So in what way do migrants, do arrivals in this country contribute to the economy?
Well, they pay more in taxes than they take out in terms of transfers and benefits. That's as simple as that.
So is it basically an age-related thing then? The people coming to this country to work are going to be by definition younger, so maybe won't need state help or support.
It is true that immigrants who have arrived since 2000 have been, younger, but also better educated than native-born individuals. So, of course, there is the concern that in the future they may claim more benefits, but they will also put more in the future because they are just at the beginning of their careers and will have not yet reached their career peak. They're also better educated, and therefore they are likely to have higher wages than native-born.
And pay more tax, of course.
And, of course, when you earn more, you pay also more tax.
And when we talk about immigration, do you separate them out into different countries or different areas?
Yes, we thought it is meaningful, given the debate at the moment, to distinguish between immigrants from Europe and immigrants from non-European countries. Now, in particular, immigrants from European countries have made a significant contribution to the public coffers over the last 12 years, 22 billion. But also immigrants from non-European countries have made a positive contribution, if you take those immigrants who came after 1999.
And is it just in terms, purely specifically in terms of money? You didn't talk about contributions in any other way, for example. I don't know, like charity work, for example.
That's a very good point. That's not something our study covers. It would be very interesting to investigate in future work.
Now, there was a lot of concern recently in some of the newspapers and amongst politicians about what's regarded as a potential huge influx of people from Romania, similar to the way we saw a lot more Polish people come to this country to live and work than was predicted by the government. Do you think the people, if they do arrive the way the Polish people arrived, do you think they will be of less educational attainment and actually maybe be worse off and claim more benefits?
I would be very careful to make any forecast in that respect. But, of course, the situation in 2004 was very different from the situation today. In 2004, the UK, together with Sweden and Ireland, were the only three countries that opened up their labour markets to Polish workers and Polish and workers from the A8 countries. Now it will be all European countries which will be opening up their labour markets, and we have much stronger economies in Central Europe, in particular Germany, but also Austria, which will probably attract the largest part of any influx, if that influx will then be large at all.
Of course, we also have seen quite a number of Polish people return either to their home country or to somewhere else in Europe because of our economic downturn.
Absolutely. Return migration has been quite significant, although the net inflow has still been positive over that period.
Why did you decide to conduct the research in the first place?
Well, we are a research centre on migration. We believe that it is important to bring factual numbers into a debate which is so emotional, and that was the main reason why we started this work about 1 year ago, and we will continue doing that in the future.
And was it possible? Are you going to break it down even further into migrants from particular, like for example, from countries? So, for example, breaking them down into, I don't know, German, French, Indian, Pakistani, Canadian, Australian. Are you going to do that, or are you just going to continue with these rather bigger blocks?
So the problem with breaking down things into finer units is that the numbers we get will have more and more statistical error. Everything we are doing is based on survey data, in this particular instance on the British Labour Force survey, combined with many other government sources on tax revenue and expenditures. Nevertheless, the Labour Force survey is representative for the different populations, but it is a very small sample.
I suppose what you couldn't then include in this are things like, and again there's been concern in some quarters about this recently, so-called health tourists, people who come here not necessarily as migrants, but they're coming for a very short period. They are undoubtedly in some cases using British services, London services, and then leaving quite quickly.
Of course, we absolutely don't exclude that this is happening. Nevertheless, we believe one has to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that immigrants from EEA countries have on average contributed 34% more in terms of taxes than they have taken out in terms of transfers.
And obviously, your research could not actually take account of illegal immigrants, which, of course, people get very upset about.
Yes, illegal immigrants, by their very definition, are not observed. We have a lot of numbers floating around in the public debate. So everybody uses this particular population to their own benefit, in a way. But, of course, this is not about illegal immigrants, because illegal immigrants is not something we can analyse.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. From University College London, Professor Christian Dustmann. He worked on that report. He's from the Department of Economics at UCL. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you.